Todd Furman joins us, our guy in Vegas, talks sports betting. Todd, you got any sympathy for Freddie Freeman in this deal?
No, I really don't have a whole heck of a lot. When you're worth that much money and you can't surround yourself with good people to make informed decisions, the unfortunate reality is that Freddie may be unhappy with the move, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be able to keep a roof over his family's head and put food on the table going forward.
See, Furman, you can't look at it like that, though, Todd, man. That's the, you know, it's just because he's playing sports and making a lot of money. We talking about in the sports world, man.
Hey,
you got to give me another reason. Other than the money, though.
Some of the discussions that players have to be more forthcoming with their agents and say, okay, hey, look, I'm willing to take a little bit less money if it means staying in Atlanta, but they have to understand all the implications. Mm-hmm. And I think in baseball, the NBA, and the NFL to a lesser extent, you know, these players get life-changing money. The NHL is a heck of a lot different animal, where players on the top end of the spectrum are only making $10 to $11 million, and that's the upper echelon. I mean, most of these guys in the middle of the pack have to make that decision almost every couple of seasons, going, you know what? I need to go from making $4 million annually to $8 million, and I'm willing to understand that I won't necessarily be playing for a contender. NBA players and Major League Baseball players with a salary cap is a hell of a lot more flexible are often given the opportunity to get the best of both worlds.
So if another radio station offered you more than what we do, you would jump immediately from us.
It all depends. If it was life-changing money and would drastically improve my quality of life, then, you know, it's something that I'd have to consider. So
what happened to your loyalty?
If you'd like my people to reach out to your people to negotiate a lifetime deal or a longer contract extension going to this football season, that's a dialogue I'd be more than happy to.
That's what's funny. Like, I love Clark Lee. I mean, I love it. Like, and if anybody's around that guy for 5 minutes, you love that guy. But he's talking about like 10-year process for Vandy. And I'm like, dude, you ain't got 10 years, man. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at it. I mean, if you're a coach like that, knowing that the program, you know, has to have realistic expectations and building up through NIL, you'd like to think in some capacity there are enough businesses in Nashville that could get behind the football program, use the strength of the city to your advantage. Mm-hmm. We know it's not a rich football tradition like the Alabamas and Georgias of the world, but use Nashville as the ultimate recruiting tool, because if Mississippi State is able to build up their program and some of the other schools in the SEC, it's a hell of a lot more attractive destination, albeit with some academic standards that have to be overcome to come play college ball in Nashville versus going other places.
Who's going to finish second in the East?
Well, I think Tennessee is the second best team in the East as it stands right now. Ooh. I think there's still a wide gulf between them and Georgia, obviously, atop the East. When you look at Georgia offensively, they have a little bit more continuity. Defensively, bringing back, what, three starters, I think it is. But it's right now along the same lines as Alabama. You don't rebuild at Georgia. You simply look to reload. And while I look at the rest of the SEC from top to bottom, I think Tennessee is the most in win-now mode than any of the other programs that are there. I think it'll take Florida a little while to get things going. I'm not a big believer in Kentucky. And Dawn, one thing that you brought up last week, and I poked around a little bit about Will Levis, I honestly had no idea NFL draft scouts are calling him a bona fide top 10 pick.
I know.
I think people need to watch him a lot more. And while they believe in arm potential, let's see if Levis can take the next step in his development when you lose your offensive coordinator to the NFL. So it's a little bit mind-boggling to me. And, you know, not to take shots at Titans fans indirectly that are getting a little bit of collateral damage, it's why I was so stunned that people had Malik Willis as penciled in as a top 15 pick. I think given where Willis was drafted now, he'll have time to learn, and he won't have some of those unrealistic expectations that a franchise would have placed on his shoulders if he went in the top 15 picks.
See that?
Todd's a good man.
Todd offered you a happy birthday present.
Todd is a good man.
Tennessee second in the East.
Todd is a good man. And I just want to know, Todd, if we were doing away with all the East and West, would you say they would be finishing third in the SEC?
No, I won't be that bullish on them, unfortunately. I think when you look at Georgia and Alabama, I mean, I have those two penciled in for an SEC title. I think Texas A&M, despite a little bit of a question mark, to say the least, at starting quarterback, that's who I have as my third best team. And I think that's where things get real interesting, because when you're talking about the logjam between a Tennessee and Ole Miss, who did exceptionally well in the transfer portal, I'm not necessarily as bullish on Arkansas as some people, despite what Sam Pittman's been able to do. But I think there's a blanket that can be thrown over those teams that are going to finish anywhere from 3 to 6. And I wouldn't rule out a team like Mississippi State with a ton of experience, maybe taking that next step forward from a real talent perspective as much as anything else. So I think it should be a fascinating year to watch the SEC hierarchy play out, more so for the middle of the pack than anything else. But I will say that Arkansas game week one, when you're talking about where to potentially find value, I'll be stunned if Cincinnati goes in on the road into Fayetteville and is able to compete against some of that SEC talent.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
See, Todd, I always feel like, you know, when we sitting here conversating, man, it's like a guy at the bar, you know what I mean? You the bartender, you get to talking fast about all the drinks and everything. But I got to back you up real quick because I'm trying to figure out, did you just say we were going to finish second in the East and then kind of just drop us to sixth or seventh overall?
You asked where you were going to be in the pecking order. I said I think Tennessee is the second best team in the East, but that doesn't mean you're the third best team in the SEC. We know that the balance of power is there in the West. But the interesting part about it, and I think, Ron, this is where everyone always tries to figure out how they're ranking teams, because for me in this business, it's not just about win-loss record. It's obviously about the power profile, because we know the schedule that these teams are going to play within the league are completely unbalanced. So you could get a team in the West that may finish one or two games at minimum behind Tennessee, but realize they're still going to be favored on a neutral. And I think that's kind of where the Vols are. But again, when we had this discussion 2 years ago, I was very concerned about the hire of Josh Heupel. I'm a lot more optimistic about it now. And when you look at where the program is headed, especially with the money being committed to solidify that quarterback position, there's reason to believe that Tennessee can cement themselves as the second best program in the East while Florida goes through a rebuild.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, at Todd Furman. You need to check out the Bet the Board podcast, rate, review, subscribe. Todd, what are you betting on these days? Like, what's your favorite betting avenue now? Are you basketball, golf? Got all kinds of options in golf now. NASCAR, where are you?
Slay?
Yeah. I don't do a whole heck of a lot when it comes to golf. I have some guys that are a lot sharper than I am who will feed me information occasionally, and I'll blindly bet some of their information, so I take advantage of the Rolodex.
That's kind of like what we do with you.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. Lean on people you trust, and hopefully they're going to lead you to water and not lead you to the poorhouse. So for me, most of my time from now until early September will be spent on college football and the NFL, just getting beefed up for those seasons. And then you mentioned it, Brent. NASCAR is where I do a lot of my damage this time of year, looking at matchups, trying to assess outrights. Although I will say, watching that race in Nashville that went on for about 13 hours on Sunday was a little bit of a challenge, even for the most diehard fan of myself. But that's where I think there's some opportunity, and so much so, it's why we debuted the first, the inaugural episode of Stay Green, Bet the Board branching out into NASCAR in partnership with NASCAR. So a big step in the right direction for our podcast, working with one of the major sports in the country.
So when do you and Payne Insider start looking at college football and working on your numbers and your boards and all those things?
April, I would say, is when you start to really begin to get a rough landscape of what's going on out there. We see college football win totals coming out earlier and earlier. And I think what's changed in the betting market is with the transfer portal now, odds makers are playing at a little bit of a disadvantage. There are win totals that I've seen this season that were 1.5 to 2 games off when they open from where they're ultimately going to settle. I don't do as much early on as some bettors do just because there's so many other obligations with the NHL and some of the other sports. But we've already put out our ACC edition of the Bet the Board podcast. We'll roll out the Big Ten right after the 4th of July. And it continues to get earlier and earlier if you want to do this full time to be able to assess the markets and identify some opportunity. But that being said, for me, I do most of my damage, early in the season, when the numbers are up. I'll look to allocate a lot more money towards betting individual games than I will tying it up in win totals or conference futures.
Yeah, I'm looking at bettheboardpodcast.com. That's a website. And I'm looking at the ACC football preview. I will listen to that tonight probably. So I appreciate that content. Do you think NC State can challenge Clemson?
I think NC State has a lot of reason to be optimistic. Devin Leary, arguably one of the best returning quarterbacks in the entire conference. From when you look at what NC State brings back, not only on the offensive side, but the defensive side of the ball, a lot of continuity there, getting some key contributors back, specifically defensively from injury. But I worry offensively because this was an offensive line that led the ACC's worst rushing attack a season ago. You lose Ikem Ekwonu as a top five pick, and we don't have to sugarcoat it. NC State doesn't bring in NFL-caliber offensive linemen at the same clip as Georgia, Alabama, or Ohio State. I also think it's a lot different for a program that's not used to having a target on their back to go from the hunter to the hunted. And the more preseason publications you read and talk to people, you'd be led to believe that NC State should be the favorite to come out of their half of the draw and not Clemson. I think this is a Clemson team who, if they're able to figure out the quarterback position between DJ Ungulele and Cade Klubnik, the talented five-star, will be right there in the thick of things because that defense is as good as advertised. And I worry that NC State will be the one playing with a lot more pressure than the perennial powerhouse in Clemson.
See, that's just a little preview of what football is going to be like with Todd Furman on 3HL. Todd, great stuff, man. Appreciate you, brother.
You got it, guys. Always a pleasure. Look forward to chatting next week.
All right. Todd Furman on Twitter. Bet the Board podcast, man. Him and Payne Insider.
Todd.